Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out his own, he goes before them, and the sheep will follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them.
ヨハネによる福音書10章1節から6節。まことにまことにあなた方に告げます。羊の囲いに門から入らないで他のところを乗り越えてくる者は盗人で強盗です。しかし門から入る者はその羊の牧者です。門番は彼のために開き、羊はその声を聞き分けます。彼は自分の羊をその名で呼んで連れ出します。彼は自分の羊を皆引き出すと、その先頭に立っていきます。すると羊は彼の声を知っているので彼についていきます。しかし他の人には決してついていきません。かえってその人から逃げ出します。その人たちの声を知らないからです。イエスはこの例えを彼らにお話しになったが、彼らはイエスの話されたことが何のことかよくわからなかった。
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Thank you. How's everyone doing? Good. God is good, amen?
Amen.
Has he been good to you?
Yes.
Hey, I like this. You guys are like active and like, you guys feel like pretty chatty today, huh? Well, God is good, and it's just, sometimes we forget, don't we? Don't we forget, and sometimes we just, you know, maybe I'm just talking to myself, maybe I'm just talking about myself, but sometimes we feel like we figured it all out. We figured God out, you know, and He's going to do things the way I want him to do it, and we get lost when we think that way, don't we? I know I do. And today's passage is about people getting lost, people getting steered the wrong way, people getting led the wrong way, people thinking they could see, but they're actually blind. But those who are blind, God's grace gives them the ability to see. And all this, Jesus gives it in a parable form. I don't know if you got the parable or not, or if you were able to read on after the scripture reading and see what Jesus all meant. But we see that this figure of speech Jesus used with them, they did not understand what he was saying to them. Who's the they? Are the they us? Or are the they someone else? And the they, and I guess there's a translation out there that say, they, the Pharisees. It was the Pharisees. And how do I know it's the Pharisees? Because the Holy Spirit told me. No, just kidding. We know it's the Pharisees because if you go back to John chapter 9, where this is a continuation of, we see that he's talking to the Pharisees. Now, in context, in John chapter 9, there was a man born blind. And as Jesus and his disciples were walking, they see this man born blind. And I don't know how they knew he was born blind. It was probably well known, or they might have asked him, or something they figured out he was born that way, and they asked the question, Lord, who sinned? Did the man sin, or did their parents sin? Isn't that an interesting question? Why is this person suffering? Or why isn't this person like everyone else? Or why does this person have to go through something a lot of other people don't have to go through? Is it his sin? Or is it someone else's sin? Why would they ask that question? Truth is, probably you and I, we ask that question all the time. You know, why am I like, I can't think of anything bad in my life, you know? But, no, just kidding. Okay. Why don't I have hair, Lord? Is it my sin? You know? Is it someone else's sin? Did my parents sin? Or, you know, why is that person homeless? Did he sin? Did his parents sin? Why is that person crippled? You know, and Todd is here, bless his heart. Why did Todd get in an accident? Maybe he was going to sin. Maybe something was going to happen. Maybe he was thinking of, you know, we ask that question all the time. Did he sin? Did someone else sin? Because in the Jewish culture, very similar to Japanese culture in this way, if you do something bad, bad things are going to happen to you. And so if something bad happened to you, you probably did something bad. Or you're about to do something bad. Or your parents did something bad. And you're just getting punished for that. And Jesus said none of them sinned. It wasn't because of his sin. It wasn't because of his parents' sin. But it was because God wants to show his power and glory through that. God wants to show his glory through my baldness. Or God wants to show his glory through Todd's accident. Or God wants to show glory through this man born blind. Or that woman with cancer. Etc., etc., etc. God wants to show his glory through all of that, through a lot of times suffering. Pain. Tragedy. God wants to show his glory through that. And he does. Jesus goes and he heals the man. And I believe this one, he spits on the ground to heal this man. Makes mud, throws it on his eyes, and said, go and wash in this pool. And he does. Miraculously healed. Happens to be on the Sabbath that he was healed. And this man born blind, once born blind, he now sees, and everyone is asking, is like, what's going on? Are you could see now? Are you sure you're that man? He's like, I'm that man. He goes to the local synagogue, worshiping God. God gave me a miracle. And you'd think the religious leaders would be excited, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's an amazing thing. God is moving in our midst. His presence is so close to us that even the blind are seeing. This was a messianic sign. No doubt about it. In the Old Testament, it talks about the blind seeing. The lame leaping. This was a messianic sign. Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel. Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel. And you'd think the religious leader is like, it is time! The Lord is here. Hallelujah! You know, they're probably doing all this like, you know, you think they'd be happy. They weren't happy. Did you know that? They got mad. They said, are you sure you're that guy? And he's like, yeah, I'm that guy. Like, no. They're like, yeah, I'm that guy. Here, look. This is my car. It says I'm blind. I don't need it anymore. Here's my garment. I don't need this anymore. And he's like, who did this to you? And he's like, I actually don't know. I'm blind. You know, I don't know who did this. And they find out it's Jesus. They find out it's in the Sabbath. They find out that this man who was born blind actually walked probably more than he's allowed to walk on a Sabbath, because they have strict rules on the Sabbath. You can only walk a certain amount of steps on a Sabbath. He probably broke that, right? Because he's blind, and he's supposed to find a pool. He's probably going all over the place looking for that pool. And you're not supposed to heal on a Sabbath, apparently. It's a big no-no. And they were upset, and the blind man is like, you know, this is probably a righteous person that did this, because God doesn't listen to like sinners. He won't do this with no sinner's prayer. And the religious leaders are like, get the H-E double hockey stick out of here. They probably said something like that, right? Don't you ever come back. Don't you ever lecture us. You who were born in sin, get out and don't ever come back. What a thing to do.
Wow, gee, were they born in sin?
And these are the religious leaders. These are the big guns. And this man born blind gets kicked out. He goes to Jesus, puts his faith in Jesus, and Jesus is talking to this man, and the Pharisees are here listening to all of this. So it wasn't actually the Pharisees that kicked him out. Now, there might have been some Pharisees in the religious group, leader group, but the Pharisees also were like, you know, hey, Jesus was like, don't worry, they're just blind, you know. And the Pharisees like, wait, are we blind too? Because we're kind of in the same group as all these other religious leaders. And Jesus said to them, if you were humble enough to say that, yes, I'm blind, you would not be in judgment. But since you say you see, you'll be judged by that. And then verse chapter 10 happens. Truly, truly, I say to you, whenever you see truly, truly, this is one of the ways Jesus begins an important saying that summarizes everything that already happens. And so chapter 9 is what he's summarizing. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. It's like, what? We're talking about blindness. Someone just got blind. And the Pharisees asked, are we blind too? And then Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you. And he gives us this parable. And it's like, what is going on? No wonder they didn't understand what he was saying. Honestly, you and I probably wouldn't understand what he was saying. Imagine that, you know. Imagine you came up to me and said, you know, this guy, he healed on the Sabbath. Is that okay to do? And I said, he opened the eyes of a blind man. He's like, yeah, he opened the eyes of a blind man on a Sabbath, though. Is that okay with you? And I said, truly, truly, I tell you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, but by the door climbs in another way. And you're like, wait, did you, what, are you, like, are you having a conversation by yourself? Like, did you even hear what I said? And so it is kind of weird that he does this. He tells them, hey, Aki, you know, what's going on? And I said, you're blind. You are blind. And I'm like, no, I'm not blind. I can see fine. And I'm like, nope, truly, truly. And they're like scratching their head. You know, what's going on? It's a parable. What does this parable mean? Do you know what this parable means? Let's try to break down the parable. Let me read the whole thing. Tell me what you think it means. In your head, don't say it out loud. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the door, the gatekeeper, opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. And it ends with this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Now, do you and I understand what he's saying? Let's break it down a little bit. Okay, let's start with the easy one, okay? Who is the sheep? Yes, the sheep would be the faithful, those faithfully waiting for the Messiah is the sheep. They are the sheep. Who is the thief and the robber? Satan. And probably every false leader and teacher that tries to lead these sheep astray, the faithful astray. And so who is Jesus calling? He's calling the Jewish leaders thief and robbers. Even the Pharisees, thief and robbers. Because they're trying to lead the faithful one of God astray. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. What is the door? To him the gatekeeper opens.
Heaven.
Some people think it's heaven. It is not heaven.
Christ.
Some people think it's Christ.
Power
if
of God.
What's that?
Power of God.
The power of God, yeah. You know, the thing is, something cute. I've shared this with you, but I think it's always cute to share. Who's the gatekeeper? Peter is the gatekeeper. Peter didn't open the door to the shepherd. Okay. I'm going to stop asking questions. All right. Anyways, cute story about the gatekeeper. I don't know what the gatekeeper is, but I told you this story before. But when we used to meet at the Pima County Medical Center, there was one time I forgot the church laptop there, and it was late Sunday night around 6 or 7. And I'm like, oh man, I forgot my laptop there. I'm gonna go back and go get the laptop. And as I went to back to our meeting place, there's all these cars in there in the parking lot. I'm like, oh, they're having a meeting in here. And so I parked my car, I get out, I'm going to the meeting room, and this, I guess, lady in the parking lot, she's going into the meeting room, and she looks at me, and she's like, are you the gatekeeper? I'm like, what kind of meeting am I walking into? Yeah, it was weird. But she saw the Holy Spirit shining off of me, and she thought I was the gatekeeper. No, anyways, yeah. But, anyways, back to the parable. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now we know who the shepherd is, the good shepherd. Who's the good shepherd? Jesus Christ. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, and that's Jesus. And there's all these thieves and robbers. And the question a lot of people get hung up on is, who is the door, or what is the door? Who's the gatekeeper? You know what the answer is? You know what the consensus answer is? Consensus? The consensus answer is, I don't know. Some people say it's the Word of God. Some people say it's Jesus Himself. Other people say maybe it's John the Baptist. But there is no consensus. There's good reasons why it's Jesus. I think it's Jesus. There's good reasons why some people say it is the Word of God. Scripture, Holy Scripture. Whoever doesn't come by the way of fulfilling Scripture is a thief and robber. But Jesus comes through that door of fulfilling all of Scripture and walks through that door. The Word of God. I think, well, that's interesting. Yeah, I think so. And then I read another commentary. No, it is Jesus Christ Himself. Because Jesus later on in this passage says, I am the door, I am the gate. And so it's like, oh, well, he's saying he's the door, he's the gate. And I think it is Jesus because he himself says it. But I can see why people would say it's the Word of God, Scripture. But you know what the cool thing about this is, in my mind? What the ironic thing about this is? Jesus is saying this to the experts of the law. To those who study Scripture. They devoted their lives to memorizing whole books and devoted their lives to studying it, knowing it, being immersed in it. The Pharisees. I bet you if there was a Pharisee here today, he'd be able to knock our socks off, impress us with all the Scripture he could quote off the top of his head and all the insights he has and all these other things. And then Jesus says, but you're blind. And you're killing, robbing, thieving, misleading my people. Do you know and are you aware that there are those who still do not enter the sheepfold by the door but climb in by another way, trying to steal, kill, and destroy God's people? Yeah? You and I who are sheep, we have to be aware of this. Or else we would be led astray. We will be led astray if we're not aware that there are those who still climb in through another way. Jesus didn't climb through another way. Jesus didn't become the Son of God through ambition, through education, through power, wealth, popularity, or any other means. He did not climb his way up into the sheep pen. He himself is the door. He fulfilled all Scripture. He was the one called one and only Son of God. And he alone is the Good Shepherd, able to lead and guide us. You know what happens? For those of us who are young Christians, it's easy to be misled and guided in wrong ways. By those who are talented, ambitious, powerful, skilled, they slap on some scripture to some things and explain it and wow us and woo us and then lead us astray. Which steals, kills, and destroys, a lot of times steals, kills, and destroys things that are unseen. Steals our joy. Kills our innocence. Destroys our relationships. And this is from the pulpit. These are those who climbed in another way. These are people that invite us over to their homes. These are people that are on podcasts, YouTube. They have books out there. And for those of us who are growing in the Lord, and that should be all of us, actually. If we're not vigilant and careful, we will be led astray by all these other so-called shepherds. Now, for those of us who have grown and matured, and we've studied and devoted our lives to studying Scripture, for us, one of the dangers and temptation is becoming like the Pharisees, myself included, especially me. Meaning, it's so easy to get, become an expert and say, I know God's word. I studied it. I know it. And don't you dare tell me anything else. And if you tell me different, friend, I'm just going to go, yeah. We get like that. I get like that. Did you know sometimes God changes things? You know? Imagine being in that time where Jesus goes up, and we're living in that time of maybe the intertestamental time. I don't know if that's the way you call it. And all of a sudden, what God's word said, don't eat pork, or don't eat this and that, and all of a sudden, people who are following God is eating pork. It's, oh man, the word of God clearly says you can't do that. Clear as day says you can't do that. And then all of a sudden God is saying, go ahead and eat it? What's going on? The word of God is sure. The word of God is true. The word of God is divine. The word of God is inspired. It is inerrant. It is all these other descriptions of the word of God. All I'm trying to say is this. When we become expert at something that is divinely inspired, we become blind. Ain't no way any one person will become an expert of this document that is divinely inspired. You know what you and I have to do? Is we have to recognize the voice of the one Scripture testifies to. My sheep hear my voice. Some of us sheep, including myself, especially myself, we think we're smarter than the rest of the sheep. You know, we're still sheep in terms of God's greatness, in terms of what God has in store for us. We are all still just sheep. And the key is the sheep hears the shepherd's voice. He hears the shepherd's voice. And as sheep, that's what we need to be focused on, is hearing the shepherd's voice. You know what? Us sheep, even the teaching sheep, the prophet sheep, the apostle sheep, we're going to get it wrong sometimes. There is no inerrant sheep. We're going to get it wrong. How do you tell a sheep from a wolf? Sheep bite too, you know that? Did you know sheep bite? Apparently they do. It hurts too when a sheep bites. You know a wolf bites? But if a wolf bites you, it's going to hurt a lot harder, a lot more than a sheep does. And so when it comes to like knowing the difference between false shepherds, false sheep, false believers, false teachers, false prophets, because there's going to be a proliferation of those things in the end times. And even now, I'm sure the market is saturated with false sheep and false shepherds, false pastors, false prophets, false teachers, false leaders. You know what? It's so important to realize. First of all, it's so important to recognize Jesus' voice. What is Jesus saying? Our job is not just to like understand Scripture and become experts of Scripture, learning from all the other teachers of Scripture. Our job, First and foremost is to hear the shepherd's voice, to learn his voice, to follow him. Second, as we learn to follow the shepherd's voice, he is going to give us opportunities and lead us and give us hunger to learn from different teachers and all these other people, pastors and stuff. He will. But since the market is so full of it, how do you tell when's good and when's not good? When they don't say what you and I already believe? Yeah, that's one way. But there's going to be, every teacher is going to have a stance where they're wrong and you're right. And every teacher is going to have a stance where you're wrong and he's right. Yeah? What happens then? What do you look for then? Their character. Character never changes. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. A false teacher may be skilled, talented, gifted, maybe even quote-unquote anointed. But if their character is off, be careful. Be careful with the words they're saying. Be careful what they're feeding you. Be careful what you believe. Because there are many thieves and robbers who are here to steal, kill, and destroy us. But his sheep, you and I, his sheep, we recognize the Good Shepherd's voice. He's given us that grace. He's given us that grace to hear his voice, to recognize. Let us pray. Father, for those of us who are blind, I pray you'll give us eyes to see. For those of us whose pride has blinded us, give us wisdom, humility, to recognize our state of being. Open our eyes, Lord. And just as important, open our ears to hear your voice, Shepherd Jesus. Even now, as we sit here, whether Father, I just ask that you would speak. Each and every one of us here, would you give us grace to hear your voice over our lives? You know, walking with the Lord, being Christian, is more than just singing songs, listening to a sermon, giving your tithe and offering, and having potluck. As great and important as all of those things are, there's the aspect of this journey with God. And the most important aspect of it is learning to hear his voice, to recognize his voice. And so let's take just a moment right now to hear what he has to say to you. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. You're such a good God, Lord.
There is none like you, Father. You call each and every one of us by name. You know us so intimately. Thank you for your words, Lord. May your word, may your voice be the loudest voice in us. Louder than all the self-doubt. Louder than all the condemnation. Louder than all the confusion. I pray your life-giving voice will be the loudest voice in our hearts. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.